If you can pull out all your equity and maybe then some and do it again, you can then keep a cash flowing asset. The cash flow is going to drop once you put more leverage in the deal and the refinance for sure. But all your original capital's out, so that risk is out. And then you can move it to the next one, and that's velocitizing your money.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What is going on, everybody? Hope everyone had a wonderful week. You know the drill. Every Friday, we're coming at you all things personal finance, because after all, it's not what you make, but what you keep. And before I get into today's episode, as always, a little housekeeping. First, I just want to thank everyone who tunes in and listens to these episodes. As I've mentioned in the past, like, I do this to provide value because I want to create something that I wish I had when I was starting out, right? I want to share with you the things that I'm learning as I'm building my business, as I'm fine-tuning my finances, and as I'm learning from others that I bring on either as guests or others that I'm meeting out in the world. And I wish I had this from the Sam Zells of the world, the Sternlichs of the world. I wish Schwartzmans of the world. I wish I had this when I was starting. And that's not me comparing myself to those individuals. Not at all. Far from that. But I wish I had something that I could tune in and listen to. And so that's what I want to do. I want to provide value to others that want to get a start in real estate or get a start or perfect their finances. So in order to do that and get more people, it helps if you share this with others that you think could get value or leave a rating and review. And so I just want to give a shout out to someone who did leave a 5-star rating review on Apple Podcast titled Amazing Info from Utah Brian. Thank you, Brian. It's my buddy, Brian. Sean does an amazing job getting great people to interview. Great information. Thank you, Brian. I really appreciate that. And for today's episode, let's get right into it. I want to talk about something that's important to the concept. At the beginning of every episode, I say it's not what you make, but what you keep. And this topic I want to talk about today is very important for that concept. And that's the concept of velocity of money. And so I'm sure you've heard this thrown around. It's becoming more popular over the last, I would say, year or two. What is velocity of money? Velocity of money has a lot to do with the return metric IRR, internal rate of return, which I'm sure you've heard as well. And velocity of money has to do with, it's one thing to produce a return on your money, right? So you invest and you get a return, but what's the speed at which you're getting that return and then taking that return and reinvesting it, the speed at which you're generating that next return and then doing the whole process over and over again. In the real estate world, you hear about the term BRRRR, right? Buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat. So you buy the property, you fix it up, you get a new tenant in there that's at a higher rent than before because you fixed up the property. Lender, the bank allows you to refinance at a higher value because you put money into the property and you're also generating higher revenue from the new rent. So then you pull that money out from that cash out refinance, and then you go repeat that and buy the next property. That is velocity of money. It's the concept of not only generating a return on your invested capital, but how quickly you do that, how you can then move it into the next opportunity. And so that's why you hear a lot about internal rate of return, IRR, especially from kind of institutional investors, private equity. That's really important metric to a lot of them. And the reason is that is because it's a way to compare investments that might not be the same. So say you're investing in a laundromat versus multifamily versus a self-storage versus a car wash. Yeah, they all might have a real estate component to them, but they are different businesses and they do have different risk-adjusted returns, obviously different risks associated with them and different return profiles. But if you look at IRR, you can compare those apples and oranges because the IRR is not only taking into account the projected return, but also at the speed at which you're getting that return. And so that's why you hear a lot of people say, you know, I'm looking for a 15% IRR. And so you can look at different investments and see what's providing a higher IRR, a higher internal rate of return. Because it's looking not only at, again, at the return this opportunity could be generating, but also at the speed at which it's doing. Because they want to velocitize that money. They want to get that return. They want to get that 16% average annual return over 3 years versus over 5 years, right? Because then they can go take that money and do it again. or that 2x equity multiple. That's a better example. They want to get that 2x equity multiple over 3 years versus five. Because if you double your money and then you can double it again, the faster that you can keep doubling it, it's that compounding of the faster it's going to grow. So velocity of money is important. And that's why we hear also some people say in the real estate space, like sometimes it is okay to sell properties, especially early on in your career, because you want to velocitize that money. You want to velocitize that equity. There's a certain point where you can't, a refi always isn't the most advantageous or correct option to pick. Depends on the loan to value you can get, the rate you can get, just the appetite in general from lenders. If you look now, like the appetite is definitely down from where it was 2 years ago, year and a half, 2 years ago. So these are important factors, right? Obviously, we prefer to refinance, get all of our equity out and do it again, because then we can keep that asset that is cash flowing. That's obviously, in my opinion, from what I'm looking to do, what a lot of my investors are looking to do, what Greenbrier Capital Group is looking to do, that's the ultimate goal. Because if you can pull out all your equity and maybe then some and do it again, you can then keep a cash flowing asset. Yeah, the cash flow is going to drop once you put more leverage in the deal and the refinance for sure. But all your original capital is out, so that risk is out. And then you can move it to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And that's velocitizing your money versus buying the property, improving it, holding it, saving up money on the side to do it again and leaving that equity in there because you don't want to put in more debt. Obviously, this all pertains to your level of risk and what you want to do, but that's what we kind of call debt equity. It's just equity sitting there, especially if you're over time, the property is appreciating, your tenants and the income are helping you pay down your principal on the debt. So you're growing that equity, right? You're growing that equity. We talked about this before. And so that it's growing bigger and bigger, but relatively speaking, as that equity grows and the yield you're generating from that property, the yield you're generating gets vastly and vastly smaller compared to what you could do if you went and bought another property at, say, you know, 70 to 75% LTV, right? Because that, you got to think about it. If the equity keeps growing, and generally it could grow faster than the rate at which your top and bottom lines are growing, then if you take that equity and you're dividing it by, and you're finding the yield. So say the yield goes from when you first bought it, maybe it's producing 10% yield. Maybe now it's producing a 6% yield because you've grown so much equity. So the yield on your equity is dropping, right? So to velocitize it, you want to pull that money out and then go find another property and put 30% down. And now you're back again, yielding 10, 12%. On your money versus the six. So you doubled it. And then you're going to keep doing this process. And to do this, obviously there's two exit strategies. The refinance, what I've been talking about, all right, pulling all the equity out, obviously advantageous because not only can you go buy another asset, but you're still holding that current asset and cash flowing. Or you sell, pull your equity out plus whatever gain you made, no longer have that asset, but generally you're going to have more capital to go buy something because when you refi, you only can refi up to a certain amount of leverage versus when you sell, you get all the money out minus paying off the debt and closing costs, right? So you're going to have more capital to go play. In an ideal world, you'd want to do the refi, right? To keep that asset. But there's certain times in one's career where it helps to take the chips off the table, all the chips, especially early on out. I mean, especially early on, it helps to have cash. Obviously, you want cash to go buy the next thing, but also helps to have cash to grow your business. I don't mean grow by buying another apartment complex. I mean, grow your team, be able to hire more employees, maybe bring on some type of software that's going to make you more efficient, get an office space so you can all work together and the work is more efficient, more collaborative. Sometimes it makes sense to take the chips off the table to then grow your business at a faster rate. Because if you're able to afford to bring on the right people, people are everything. You're able to afford to really focus on your culture and really foster a competitive, winning, a giving culture. That's where it's really going to drive your business. That's going to allow you to buy more units than just by refining out or selling and going buying more, right? Because people and culture are everything in business. That's what's going to propel you forward. So don't hang on the saying of, I'm a buy and hold investor, I never sell. Because sometimes it's smarter to sell, right? Now you want to sell the right asset. You don't want to sell the wrong one, right? Sometimes it's smart to let your winners ride, right? But it's not wrong to sell some assets occasionally. It can really velocitize that money. And I think this is an important concept that everyone should really understand. And this is not only in real estate, but in life as well. You want to look at velocitizing that money because after all we know, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world, as Albert Einstein once said. And to really be able to get your money to work for you, that's what I mean when I say that at the beginning of every Finance Friday episode. You know, it's not what you make, but what you keep. And what it really is the money you keep getting it to work for you, getting it to be like little foot soldiers for you, right? To go out and bring more back. That's velocitizing your money. It is all about speed. But at the same time, that shouldn't be the only focus, right? You shouldn't just be doing deals thinking like, oh, I'm just going to get out a year or two, because you can, that's what we're kind of seeing now. People that had that mindset and they bought right before all this happened, right before, you know, rates were increased at a faster rate than we've seen in decades, right before we saw collapse of financial institutions, of banks, people who are trying to get out now, that may not be a good scenario. So you always want multiple exit strategies. You want to go into it with the flexibility of being able to exit possibly in 2 years, but not being required to. That's important, right? Because if you're just solely focused on velocitizing your money and that's your strategy and you're forced to sell at a certain time and you have no other exit strategy, you have no flexibility to keep it, and you take a hit, that's not velocitizing your money, obviously, right? That can't be your sole focus. That's the point. Just in anything, you need to be flexible. You need to be able to pivot. You need multiple exit strategies. And I think that goes, I recently had this conversation with a guest. By the time you hear this, or when you hear this, that episode won't have come out yet, but we talked about this. Debt is one of the most important aspects of what we do. Obviously, it allows us to buy bigger assets because we can use leverage, of course, but I'm more referring to aligning the debt you're getting with your business plan, because there's certain debt for every type of business plan, right? If you buy and hold long-term, you want to get something that has a longer amortization period, possibly fixed for a longer period of time if you can get a good rate, or even floating with a cap. And the fixed ones are going to have some type of prepayment penalty. So you might want to go, obviously, agency when you're talking about something that's long-term, right? And they're going to have yield maintenance, defeasance, which if you were to sell it before the end of the term, that's going to hurt you because you're going to have to pay that. It's essentially a prepayment penalty. So that's not something you'd want to buy if you wanted to flip this asset in 2 to 3 years. In that sense, you might want to go for like some type of floating rate with cap or some type of fixed rate product that might have a higher rate, but doesn't have prepayment penalties. So you want your business plan and your debt to align. It's very important. And that's very important to velocitize your money because, again, if you want to sell in 3 years, but you're going to take $1 million hit in prepayment penalty, you're losing $1 million that you could velocitize, but you have to pay it in fees to get out of said debt. So you got to be thinking of these things. And it's, again, it's not just about velocitizing your money, it's about first and foremost protecting your principal, then making a return, producing a strong risk-adjusted return, and then velocitizing it. So guys, I just want to get on here and share this with you. I think it's really, really important to growing wealth, to growing your finances, is velocitizing that money. Don't let equity sit stale. All right, everybody. As always, thank you for tuning in. And as always, easy doesn't pay well and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you so we can all create the lives of our dreams and thereby we can make this world a better place. All right, buddy, catch on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.